Well, that song asks a question. Is this what we waited for? What's the answer? Yes, it is. And we need to be excited about that. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. So today, we've ended Advent. The child has been born. And we're going to look at what it means that God is now with us. So stand, if you will, turn to John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. And this brings it all together. This brings the fact that Jesus is the light of the world, like we saw last night, we've been seeing for weeks. And it brings in His incarnation, what it means when He was actually born. And it brings in His Godhood. So John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 says, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You can be seated. So, as we understand, you know, the first part of John talks about John the Baptist, and it says that he was not the one that was coming, but the one who was coming is the one that we've all been waiting for. So I've got four simple points this morning. Number one, Christmas and Jesus were worth waiting for. Right? So you can look back in history and you can look at what happened to Israel and what's going to happen to Israel, and you can say those thousands of years that God had prophesied He was going to send a Messiah, the 700 years since Isaiah gave his specific prophecies, all of those years of waiting, and then about 400 years before Jesus is born, God tells the nation, "I'm going to go silent. The next thing you're going to hear from me is my Messiah." And there's silence for 400 years. There's anticipation. It builds up. It builds up. And finally, there's signs that are given. A virgin shall be with child. Can't happen, right? A virgin is with child, and she shall give birth to her firstborn, and she shall name him Emmanuel, which being translated means God with us. And this comes to pass. So for Mary and Joseph and all of Israel, it was worth waiting for. Was Jesus worth waiting for you? Amen. Okay? You know, we didn't start out with a mind toward God. We started out with a mind that was against God. And God worked on us. He gave us light. He continued to give us revelation. He continued to give us blessing after blessing. And then finally the time came that we had to make a decision. We had to make a decision about Jesus Christ and what we were going to do with Him. But if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you know that it was worth waiting for. You have eternal security. You know where you're going to spend your entire life. Even when this shell dies, you know where you're going to be. You know who's going to be there with you. So Jesus and Christ were certainly worth waiting for. He was not what people expected. And you know what? Today He's still not what people expect. You saw that little thing in the video. They wanted a mighty king. They wanted a ruler. You know, today we want a pop star. We want a democratically elected president. We want somebody that's just different. But that's not what Jesus was ever meant to be. You see, Jesus is coming to deliver something completely different, something much better than what people expect. Remember we talked about Mary last week? She was going to be content with her as good as it's going to be life. And she would have been fine with that. But look what she got. She got to raise the Son of God. It was so much better. And Jesus is going to bring much more than what we expect, much more than what we reasonably think we can do. But He's going to bring exactly what God promised. And that's the thing we got to keep in mind. So is Jesus going to bring just total peace and harmony? No, that's not what He's coming for. When Jesus comes back this next time, he's coming back as judge. Gone is the suffering servant of the first coming. Gone is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. What we see now when Jesus returns is judge. He will reclaim the world. He will take his church first at the rapture. And then when he returns in his second coming, he will judge the world. He will judge the nations. He will set up his kingdom. And won't that be a glorious thing? And folks, regardless of whether we've been raptured or we're alive at that time, if you are in the church, you're going to rule and reign with him. Those are promises that he has made. And again, I know we say this a lot, but we can look back at all these old promises that have been fulfilled and understand that since every one of those was fulfilled, every one of those things that he's promised for the future will be fulfilled. So was he worth waiting for? Yes. Is he worth waiting for? Yes. Different question. You know, Peter said in the last days, scoffers would come and they would say, where's the promise of his coming? It's been 2,000 years since he was here. He's not coming back. Everything goes on like it always does. And that's exactly what God said they would say. So when you meet somebody like that, there's a temptation to go, hey, do you know you're fulfilling Bible prophecy? Maybe you don't need to do that. That's a little sarcastic, a little. But the point is, that's exactly what God said was going to happen. And you know what's going to happen anyway? He's still coming back. So we need to keep focused on him, and we need to understand that he is worth waiting for. The second coming is worth waiting for. We want to be found doing his work when he comes. When that trumpet blows for the rapture of the church and we go, I want us to all be doing his work. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we've got to be doing. Number one, that's what he commanded us, but like we said, like we're going to see next week, that is what we should do as a reasonable service. So look at this. In verse 9, he said, this true light gives light to every man coming into the world. So understand what he did. He came to give light to every man. There is nobody that has sinned too much to be saved by God. There is nobody who has committed a sin that cannot be saved by God. We need to understand that every sin is capable of salvation except the sin of unbelief. If you don't believe in him, then he can't do that. But everything else can be saved. And we need to understand that God's word came to whosoever believes in him. Whosoever is an important word. You don't have to be a member of any particular church to believe in him. You're supposed to be a member of a church. But you don't have to be a member of a particular church. You don't have to donate so much money. You don't have to attend every Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, and Friday. What you have to do is believe in him. And it'll change your life. So he was worth waiting for. He is worth waiting for. Which leads us to the second point. No one should miss the gift of Jesus. So how many open presents this morning or last night? A few of us? Okay. All right. Well, what would have happened if you had never opened that present? It just lays there, right? So, number one, we need to recognize that Jesus Christ is a gift. God gifted him to us because while we were in sin, God loved us first. Y'all understand that? We didn't love him and love him so much that God decided he was going to give us Jesus Christ. This was the plan from the very beginning, and God said, I love them so much that I will send my son to die for them. Look at verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So Jesus made the world, Jesus was in the world, but yet somehow the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. So God sent this gift, but it just sat there. Just like your presents. If you hadn't opened them this morning or last night, whenever you did, They'd have just sat there. Next year, they'd probably been hauled out and put under the tree. We've done that before. Forgotten that we had presents. Y'all ever done that? And then, what is this? I have no clue. It was kind of a nice surprise, but nobody else has done that. Come on, y'all. Okay, okay, now here come the confessions. Good. But look, God gives a gift. He's made it so clear throughout history that this is a gift. We can't earn a gift, right? That's not the point of a gift. A gift is something you don't deserve. It's unmerited. It's unwarranted. It's just a gift. Here. That's lesson number two, is it's a gift. But here's lesson number three. It has to be opened. It must be accepted and it must be opened. Jesus Christ came to give His life a ransom for whosoever believed in Him. And all we have to do is take that package that He brought and unwrap it. Look at verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, you know, you must be born again. Talking about being born from above, being born from the will of God in order to be saved. And that's what He's telling us. He said, I have sent My Son as your gift. It's sitting right there. All you have to do is accept it and open it. And how do we do that? We open it by saying, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I acknowledge Him as my Lord. We open that package and He comes, that light of the world comes and lives on the inside of us. It dwells inside us. The Holy Spirit then dwells inside of us. So don't miss the fact that Jesus has come. He's laid Himself out. He's made this gift to you. He's made this gift to the people that you love, to the people that you know. Whosoever. So everybody this gift is offered to. Those people who accept it, those people who go up and open the box, get the benefit of the gift. You guys see that? It's just like a Christmas present. It really is. Because if we never open the gift, we're never going to get to experience that wonderful vacuum cleaner or toaster or whatever it may have been that your husband's got in trouble for getting. I don't know. Or toys, maybe. Or maybe a Bible. I don't know what you got. But whatever it was, you experience it by opening it. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. Look at John 1:14. And this is what it is to experience. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we open that gift, we behold His glory. We understand His glory. We start to understand what the Word of God says. Open the Bible as that gift. This is the wrapping, by the way. Yours may be brown, red, blue, black, don't care, but that's the wrapping. Open it up. There's the gift. You start to understand that Jesus is the Word of God, the Logos of God. The Bible is the Logos of God. It is what we talk about. It's how we learn about Him. And we can understand the Word because of the Holy Spirit. When we open that gift, something magical, spiritual happens in our lives, and we get an understanding that we didn't have before. We get an understanding that lets us read the same Word that a non-believer reads and actually understand it and make it apply to our lives, instead of saying, well, that was just something written 2,000 years ago, or 3,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago. The Word applies to our lives. And it does that when we understand that Jesus is the gift and we have to accept it and open it. We see a purpose for this, and this is the fourth point. So that we can shine for the glory of God. Jesus said, by this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He told parables over and over again where Christians produce fruit. He says a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. All of his stories talked about what would happen when Christianity invaded, when the light of Christ invades the darkness of our human hearts. Like we talked about last night, it dispels the darkness. You can't have complete darkness where there's light. And as we passed the candles around last night, as the flame passed from person to person, one of the things I asked the group here to do was think about what darkness there may have been still in our lives as Christians. What is it that we think, oh, I need to deal with this? Or what is it that is a sin that's still a problem for us? Or what is it that as the light approached, you think, oh gosh, I don't know if I want God to see this. Well, He sees it anyway. The light ends the darkness. The light invades the darkness, and the light changes what is dark to light. He says, I am the light of the world. You who believe in me will no longer walk in darkness, but will walk in the light of life. And why do we do it? To glorify God. We are created to glorify God. Every single thing we do should be aimed at glorifying God. So this is a very simple Christmas message. I want you to just think about the gift that you've been offered. And I pray that every single person in here has opened that gift. And I pray that every single person in here has opened it and is experiencing the grace and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not opened that gift, it's Christmas Day. We're going to do a little bit different invitation here in a minute. But it's Christmas Day. No better time to open that gift that He gave. It doesn't do any good if it just sits there. Some people, for those of you that have opened the gift and understand that the light that He talks about is now inside of us, some people need encouragement to open that gift. They're scared of what might be in it. They're scared of what might change their life inside of it. Because we get so comfortable sometimes with our normal life, don't we? We think, well, you know, I don't want my boat to be rocked. Isn't that the saying? Don't rock the boat. Sometimes the boat needs to be capsized, turned over, and sunk. You know what? Here's the life preserver that He threw us, and it's sitting there ready for us to grab onto. So there may be somebody in your life that needs help opening that box, needs help opening that gift and experiencing the gift of Jesus Christ. And I pray today that if you guys are saved already, you know that you're saved, that you can help somebody else open that Christmas gift. Lots of reasons people don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. Number one is the fear. They don't know what it's going to mean for them because they don't understand that He's a true loving God. You can put your life in His hands knowing that He loves you and every single thing that happens will be for your good. And you cannot fully surrender to Him until you believe that. So I want to do a little bit different invitation today. There was a pastor named Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. That's a biblical name, isn't it? He went by SM, no surprise. But he was born in about 1940, died in 2000. He preached to an African-American population down in San Diego. And probably about 40 years ago, somebody had the sense, this was before recording became really prevalent, but somebody had the sense to record a question that he asked one Sunday morning. A statement about the king. You know, we sang today, how many kings have come down for me? The answer is only one. How many kings have given up their thrones? How many fathers have given up their sons? The answer is only one. But the question that Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge asked was, this is my king, I wonder if you know him. So listen to this, if you will, as we end, and then we'll do a separate prayer. But this is going to be the invitation today. And if you don't know this king, today's the perfect day to come up and open that gift. Isaiah?
The Bible says, my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Have y'all ever heard that before? That is awesome. And every time I hear that, I just want to jump up and shout. But that's the thing. That old man, I mean, he was old at the time he gave that. But you can feel that coming through him. You can feel the power of his belief coming through there. And the rhyming's good, too. That's good. But the point is, every single statement he made about Jesus Christ in there is true. And this was his invitation one Sunday morning out in San Diego. The question was, do you know him? That was it. So my question to you this morning, to take that from S.M. Lockridge, is do you know him? If you don't, this morning is the greatest opportunity you'll ever get. Let's open the gift. If you know him already, get to know him better. Just like someone you're dating or you're wanting to marry, you get to know them better and you just grow and grow and grow together. So during our invitation this morning, I just ask you to think, do I know him? If the answer is yes, then you're good. Let's get to know him better. We're going to do that in 2023. All right? If you don't know him, today's the day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending him to be born so that he could grow up, so that he could understand what we go through as human beings, so that he could understand temptation yet not sin, so that we could see a sinless life, so that we could see the sinless life of your Son nailed to that cross for us, so that we could understand that we were supposed to bear that punishment. We were supposed to bear the penalty of death. We were supposed to be punished for our own sins. But when we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and when we confess Him as Lord and Savior, you change our hearts. We thank you that you justify us, that it's just as if we never sinned. But you still had to punish that sin, Lord, and you put it on your Son who became sin for us. So when He was born, that was just the first part of His purpose for coming. The cross that overshadowed that manger followed Him for 33 years, Lord, and we thank you so much that it did. We thank you that it pleased you to bruise Him for our own iniquities and to put our sin on Him so that we can live, in your eyes, a spotless life, so that we can be found worthy to be called sons of God. Father, we know that it is all because of the gift of Jesus Christ. I pray that we never forget, never trivialize, never put it on the back row, never hide it like this year's Christmas tie, whatever it may be, that we never forget how important that gift is. Father, if there's anyone here who has never received that gift, I pray that they would do so today. And for those of us that have, Father, I pray that you just increase in our understanding, increase in our knowledge, just how wonderful you are and how awesome that gift really is, so that we can live for your glory and we can take that gift and we can share it with others, fulfilling our duty now to be the light of the world until you return. And this we pray in His name. Amen.